Imagine walking down a street when a boy throws a brick through a shop window. Someone in the gathering crowd remarks, "At least this will create work for the glazier." This seemingly logical observation contains the seed of the most persistent fallacy in economics. While the glazier indeed gains business, what remains unseen is what the shopkeeper would have done with that money otherwise, perhaps buying a new suit and benefiting the tailor instead. This is the one lesson that changes everything. Good economic analysis requires looking not just at immediate effects on one group, but at long-term effects on all groups. Why does this error persist? Partly because economics is complex, but also because special interests benefit from promoting policies with visible short-term benefits while ignoring hidden long-term costs. Politicians win elections by pointing to jobs created by spending programs, not by explaining invisible jobs that might have been created had taxpayers kept their money. The broken window fallacy illustrates a profound truth. Destruction doesn't create wealth, it merely redistributes it, often less efficiently. This insight applies not just to broken windows, but to countless economic policies we encounter daily. War is good for the economy. How many times have we heard this claim? The reasoning seems straightforward. War creates demand for weapons and supplies, stimulating production and employment. Many credit World War II with ending the Great Depression. But this commits the same error as the broken window fallacy on a massive scale. War creates visible economic activity in certain sectors, but it destroys wealth that could have been used more productively elsewhere. The labor and materials devoted to building tanks could have built houses, hospitals, or schools instead. Consider post-war Europe's economic boom. Many saw the rapid rebuilding as evidence that destruction stimulates growth. But this overlooks a crucial fact. The rebuilding merely restored what had been lost. Had there been no war, those resources could have created new wealth rather than replacing what was destroyed. Think about it this way. If destruction truly created prosperity, couldn't we achieve economic nirvana by bombing our own cities? The absurdity of this conclusion reveals the fallacy of the premise. Government spending comes from taxation, borrowing, or printing money. When funded through taxes, it reduces private spending and investment. While government-created jobs are visible, we don't see the jobs that private spending would have created instead. Consider a $10 million government bridge project employing 200 workers. Less visible are the alternative uses of that money, like new cars, home renovations, or small business investments that might have employed even more people. Government borrowing shifts costs to future taxpayers, while printing money causes inflation. Neither creates free resources. While some government spending on public goods like defense and infrastructure may be necessary, we must acknowledge that it redirects resources rather than creating new ones. Automation is destroying jobs, a fear that has persisted from the Luddites to today's AI concerns. While it seems logical that machines replacing workers leads to job losses, this view overlooks broader economic effects. When companies automate, lower production costs reduce prices, giving consumers more spending power. This creates demand and jobs in other sectors. Companies often expand production due to increased efficiency, sometimes hiring more workers despite automation. Agriculture illustrates this pattern. The U.S. went from 90% farm employment in 1800 to less than 2% today, yet workers shifted to manufacturing, services, and entirely new industries. While technological transitions can cause temporary hardship, the solution lies in education, retraining, and support, not resisting progress. We need to protect American jobs from foreign competition. This sentiment drives support for tariffs and trade restrictions, but it ignores their broader economic impact. Tariffs may protect jobs in industries facing foreign competition by raising import prices. However, they harm consumers through higher prices and hurt export industry workers as other countries impose retaliatory tariffs. Consider a tariff saving 1,000 steel industry jobs by raising prices 25%. This increases costs for automakers and construction companies, potentially causing layoffs. Consumers spend more on steel products, reducing their spending elsewhere in the economy. The fundamental error is forgetting that the purpose of economic activity is consumption, not employment. We work to produce goods and services that satisfy needs and wants. Jobs are means to this end, not the end itself. True job creation comes from increasing productivity and removing barriers to economic activity. When people can freely specialize and trade according to their comparative advantage, total production increases, creating more wealth and sustainable employment. Imagine coordinating billions of people globally, each with different skills, preferences, and information. This seemingly impossible task is accomplished daily by the price system, which coordinates economic activity without central direction. Prices act as signals. When goods become scarcer or demand increases, rising prices encourage conservation and increase production. When abundance grows or demand falls, declining prices promote consumption and signal producers to reallocate resources. A frost damaging Florida's orange crop illustrates this elegantly. Higher prices naturally lead consumers to reduce consumption, prompt other regions to increase production, and provide Florida growers resources to recover. No central authority needs to direct these adjustments. This system works because prices contain information about scarcity and value that no central planner could gather. The knowledge required to run an economy is dispersed among millions of individuals with unique local insights. The well-stocked shelves of a grocery store, filled with items from around the world, demonstrate this marvel, achieved not through central planning, but through countless individuals responding to price signals. Economic policies must be evaluated by their impact on society as a whole, not just specific groups. This concept was termed the forgotten man by William Graham Sumner, representing those who silently bear the costs of economic interventions. When government intervenes, the benefits are often visible and concentrated, like subsidies to specific industries or tariffs protecting certain jobs. However, the costs are dispersed across society. Taxpayers funding subsidies, consumers paying higher prices, and workers in other sectors losing opportunities. The forgotten man takes many forms. The taxpayer funding others' benefits, the consumer facing inflated prices from trade restrictions, the worker priced out by minimum wage laws, or the family struggling with housing costs due to regulations. This oversight occurs because concentrated interests have stronger incentives to lobby than dispersed ones, and because visible benefits make better political arguments than invisible costs. Understanding both visible and invisible effects of economic policies, what Frederick Bastiat called the art of looking at both the seen and unseen consequences, is crucial for effective policy advocacy, regardless of political orientation.